Elbstrom over in Romania. And in the middle of his one text, or not a text, email, he says, one Ukrainian soldier texted a friend of mine and said, sometimes something really unexplainable happens. Can you say something like that in your life today with that of God? Something that is totally unexplainable happens, which means what? I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I don't know how it happened. But something unexplainable happens, this Ukrainian soldier texted. As if someone invisible's hand takes the bullets and the shells away from us, and they fly right past us. Somehow, I don't understand it. Somehow, these things are happening. And then somehow, in a difficult situation, this part right here can minister to the church body of today. This right here ministers to your situation today, because it's talking about somehow in a difficult situation, I don't know exactly what to do. But this young man, this soldier says, in a difficult situation, we know exactly what to do and how to do it. The beginning is somehow we know how to do it. We are seeing and hearing evidence of the mighty power of God in the invisible realm, making a difference in the natural realm. Take note of these things. Jimmy, 5-0 in the ministry and things of that nature. We're seeing things taking place in that spiritual realm that we see it's happening, but we see it in the natural come about. But when you look at this, when we see this situation that's been going on now 3 weeks or so, it's going to be a month pretty soon, I don't know, in Ukraine. And this was like early on in that battle. When I read that a couple weeks back, it just really it really hit me in regards to the stories in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were fleeing and the things that were coming upon them. And they had man leading them and helping them, Hezekiah. They had Elisha and Elijah. They had all these prophets and people leading them and relaying information that God was telling his prophets to these people. And we saw the evidence of that that was written in the scriptures. And that is not just a storybook, guys. Those things actually happened. Okay? It's not a storybook. It's not somebody just like, hey, let's make a story about all these men on war on chariots, and they go into the sea, and then the water falls back on them and drowns them. Boy, that would be a great series.
Hallelujah. But we're seeing these things happening now, and I think it's important for us to pay attention to them. And when I saw this email and read that, I thought I was reading scripture. I thought I was in over there with, you know, the Israelites. I thought I was like living it today. And so that took me into, and we're going to look at how the battle is in the invisible realm. See, your battles today, you think you're looking for it in the natural and you can't find it. Oh, I feel pain here. Yes, that's natural. But the battle taking place is in that spiritual realm dealing with us. And it's trying to mess with our spirit. And it's trying to mess because what that spirit of that spiritual battle does is if it can get into you enough and cause you to think nothing but that, it removes your eyes off of the source of who can handle it for you. No matter what the battle is. No matter what it is. So I got to turn to 2 Kings. But I want to start in 2 Kings 6:8. And this is Elisha. He's seen into the king of Syria's bedroom. The king of Syria is wanting to come and overtake. And he's got plans. But we're finding out that Elisha, the prophet, he's seen and he's hearing what this king is saying in his bedroom or saying to his people. And by that, Elisha, he's able to go tell his king or his leader and say, be aware of this, be prepared. And this is happening. And so in 2 Kings 6:8, now the king of Syria, I'm going to start in 6:8. I'm sorry, yeah. 2 Kings 6:8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware," this is Elisha, "beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. And thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. He called his servants, and he says to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" He's saying, "Who is betraying me? Who is the spy in my camp?" Because that's what he's thinking. This guy, and the king of Israel, he knows what my moves are. I don't understand it. So there's got to be someone in my close quarters here that is a spy. True. Yes. "Oh, none, my lord," says his servant, "O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." Spiritual. Elisha is not in that guy's bedroom. He's nowhere around him. But that through that of God telling him, these are the things, and he's sensing and picking them up. So he says, "Go and see where he is that I may send and get him." And therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. This is the king of the king of Syria. He's saying, therefore, he sent the horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and they surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God rose early and he went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant says to him, "Oh, alas, my master, what shall we do?" You ever been in a situation the last month, week, day or two, where you've asked yourself, "What shall I do, oh Lord?" But he's asking, "What shall I do?" The servant is saying to that of Elisha. "What shall we do?" So he answers and says what in verse 16? "Do not fear." Why? Wouldn't you think you'd want to fear if you look out and you saw armies all surrounding you and they're ready to besiege you? I can see this happening in the battlefield of Ukraine. Look at this, they're all around us. "What shall we do?" he asked his master. And his master responds in verse 16, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, and he says what? "Lord, I pray, open the eyes that he may see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And what did he do? He saw and beheld the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so when the Syrians had come down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Verse 19, "Now Elisha said to them, 'This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, I will bring you to that man of whom you seek.' But he led them to Samaria." So you got this battle taking place. The king of Syria is coming around. He's surrounded them. He's going to overtake them. He says, "Go find this man that's telling this, and I want him." And the servant of Elisha says, "Oh, I woke up that morning and I looked out and, oh my goodness, we're surrounded. What are we to do?" And I want you today to understand this in your own personal life. Do not fear, for those that are with you are more than those that are against you. The things that we go through, the things that we're battling, we have got to understand that within our own self, that I have more with God on my side than anything that man can throw at me. And so we've got to be understanding of that. Now, so does that mean you're not going to go through a struggle? No, please don't get off in the wackiness of saying, "Well, then I should never have any problems throughout the rest of my life. I shall never suffer heartache. I shall never suffer pain. I shall never..." Don't get there. But I'm just telling you right now that the God that was doing this back in Kings is the same God that I serve today. My God has not changed because it's 2022. And when we go through a battle, no matter what that is, we have got to be strong and we've got to realize that, yes, I see this and I see that. I see this pain. I feel this pain. Or I see this situation not opening up for me. Or I see this closing down on me. Or I see this happening over here. I don't know how this is going to happen. Yeah. But we got to go to that of God. And I'm looking at this and thinking about how Elisha was able to hear the plans of the enemy even before it unfolded. Do you think that God, through that of our prayer time and intercession and just being with him, that he doesn't prepare you for something? God's done that for me a few times. How about you? I've been in prayer for a situation and whatever it might be, and I'm not going to get into it, but several things, and it's usually church-related. Go figure that out, okay? But God has told me many times ahead of time of what's going to take place. But he's never revealed the fullness of it all the time to me. And it's as simple as telling me to leave my job to come here, but I don't think I'm needed here. There's already pastors, associate pastors, but God says just wait and see. Anyway, we can go down the litany of things that God has showed me throughout my last 25 years or 20 years, and especially whatever, that we've gotten into the ministry of God. And I don't take myself to where I'm a prophet, to where I can get this and prophesy, but we shall all prophesy. But when you're a child of God, I believe, and I'm not perfect, and there's still a lot of things that I have to boil out of me, you know, to be pure of what he wants. But when you're a child of God, serving God, hearing him and doing the best that you can at what you've got at your disposal, and whatever you are and power and strength, and God's working with you because he's a God of what? Grace and mercy. And God has an assignment for every one of you here today. And he has spoken it to you already, and you've not heard, or you've heard, and you neglected to follow. Or he's not spoken it to you yet. Just be ready. Because there's always a plan and a purpose he's saying for all of our lives. And so when I reflect back on that, I can see in my own personal life that God still speaks. He still prepares you. He still speaks before the event happens. Many of us through here could say, well, God spoke to me about this, and I did this, and I'm sure glad I did because this happened. You know, that's God preparing you. And so we've got to be attuned and listening to him. And we got to understand that God is on our side, just like this Ukrainian soldier. It seems like these bullets and rockets go right by us, like there's something there just... That is taking place in your life today. Haven't you ever wondered how many times God has saved you from a disaster? Yeah, he has. Driving, walking, whatever the case is, at work, whatever. We find out that God is still God, and God is still moving mightily in our lives. But we have got to be attuned to him, and we've got to trust him, and we've got to, you guys don't want to hear this. You've got to surrender to him, right? I don't surrender to nobody, you know? I'm my own person. But God is speaking, and so he said to this of his servant, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those that are with them. Now, so they come in. What did Elisha pray? Blind their eyes. Blinds their eyes. Elisha steps up. The very guy they're looking for is what? The guy that leads them out of the place into Samaria. They were with him all along. And if you read on into that, you find out that they were taken down. And let's see here. When the king of Israel, They took him, they took him hostage, and the people around him said, now the king of Israel saw them, and he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But the answer was, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. And so that you can go on, and there's just phenomenal stories throughout these scriptures, and like one leads into the other, you know, with that of Elijah, and all of these things taking place. So we want to look at this here as a thought process. The invisible realm and the victorious warfare. To believe the impossible, one must first see the invisible. Let that sink in. To believe the impossible, one must first see the invisible. The lesson that Elisha had taught his servant. This text involves war between Israel and Syria, and the prophet Elisha's informing his people of the enemy's tactics through prophetic insight. That's verse 12. And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom or in private." Here's the lesson. Prayer is the key to discerning our adversary's strategies. Prayer is the key to discern our adversary's strategies. Further, the key to dispelling Elisha's servant's panic was his vision being open to see the invisible. Sometimes we've got to get to that point because God is working, amen, behind the scenes. And maybe we need to pray, Lord, would you open my eyes so I can see what you're doing or see how this is going to unfold? Or would you open my eyes to make me be aware of what the enemy is strategizing against me so that I can be prepared and ready? This is going along the invisible realm and the victorious warfare. But Elisha's servant panicked and was his vision being open to see the invisible. Note these critical words that Elisha prayed. Elisha did not ask God simply to show the servant another miracle. You know, sometimes, isn't that way? We just want to get into another miracle. Come on, let's have another miracle from God. God's a miracle working God. Let's make him perform. Dun, 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 dun. Now today, God is coming through the town, and he's going to be performing all kinds of miracles to all those around. Sell tickets. Get the hot dog stand ready. It's the show. I once time prayed to God. We had some phenomenal things happening here many years back when the church was a lot bigger. And God was touching people and doing a miraculous work. And I said, Lord, praise God. And but I kind of prayed this. I said, Lord, don't let people just come to the church to see your miracles, and then they see them and they go away. To me, I feel like they're using you and abusing you. They just want to come and see the show. Oh, yeah, I saw that person do this, and oh, that was phenomenal. Well, you know, it's one thing for them to be touched by that of God, but are you being touched by that of God? And so I thought, I would pray this. I'll hear from God when I get to heaven that I was not doing it right, that he might have said, no, let them see all my miracles, because it says they will be, you know, signs and wonders and things of that nature. But I had been in the ministry or in church not that long, because I was not raised in church, but I was in church long enough to know that all of these people that normally the large amount of people that come, all they want to see is a show. Right? You better admit it, because that's what it turns out to be when you have sometimes these big things happening and people are doing this and people are doing that. The word gets out and the people come and they're all out in the corner and they're looking in this corner. And they're over. We had this room packed. We had chairs. You could not walk down. The aisles between were only this wide. Right, Dan? Chairs all set up here, all set up back, all over there. All there. Everything was set up with chairs. People in the back room where we have fellowship and our little Bible study. Chairs back there. People back there. God is in the house. God is doing miraculous things. 2022 comes. Do we think we need to set up any extra chairs? No. It was a show. Not saying the people that were doing it were putting on the show or all those things happened. It was God moving sovereignly. But just because someone sees a miracle does not mean they're going to stay connected to God. Because it's just like another program, they need to stay in church. That miracle was good for 3 weeks. I need to see another working of God. And then we begin to think we've got God on a stick, God on a leash, to bring him out and to perform in the front of the people, to do those miracles again, so that people can get a warm, fuzzy feeling and say, I saw God. It was awesome. And not too long after that, they go back to what? Where they came. And I don't know where they're all at, but I would almost venture to say many of them are nowhere into a church, nowhere into anything of God. Just kind of knowing some of the backstories of some of these things. It's amazing what you learn and see in ministry. It's amazing what you see and learn what trips the people's trigger in church. It's not the word of God that gets them excited. It's the performance of God doing things. And once God says, if that's all you're here for, I can go somewhere else. Had a person one time come a long time back. They'd been to a few different churches, and they were friends. And she had asked me, so Pastor Tim, why are we not seeing much in the signs of tongues and interpretations of tongues in our churches? And they were going through some mainline churches, you know, churches that flowed in those areas at one time and whatnot. I said, I don't know. I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know. Does anybody know? But see, there's things with God that are seasons that come and go. Things that God performs, or not performs, things that God reveals himself in. And then after a while, he says, okay, that's enough of that now. I'm going to step back. Did me revealing myself in those areas build you closer to me? Did that increase your faith? Did that increase your following me in a deeper level? Did that change you and your walk? Or were you just looking at it as, it's good to hear tongues and it's good to hear shanda. And then somebody over here interpret it, thus saith the Lord. I was so jaded in that area, I began to try to time it. And that's very wrong on me. I had asked the Lord to forgive me for that. Okay. The tongues went on for 25 seconds, but the interpretation went on for 2 minutes. I'm thinking, really? I didn't, you know, and that was my mind, man, trying to say, is this right or wrong? Or was I really being that of man, or was that of God speaking into my spirit saying, pay attention to this. Sometimes they people add on more than what I really say. Is it God or is it not God? And as children of God, you better have your spirit tuned up and keyed in on the things of God. And it sounds like Elisha did, huh? He was being able to prepare. He heard. His servant, he said, oh, dear Lord, when he prayed to God, answers happened. And so it was this. It goes on to say, here's the lesson. Prayer is the key to discerning our adversary's strategies. Further, the key to dispelling Elisha's servant's panic was his vision being opened. So Elisha's prayer, he did not just simply ask God to show his servant another miracle. He asked for his servant to see into another dimension. We used to see that on TV way back, right? I mean, if you look at sometimes the things in the world and what is done in the natural things, wasn't it like the Twilight Zone and stuff like that? Boop, that thing go to a tube, and now we're going to open up into another dimension. And there's a lot of truth to that, isn't there? There is another dimension out here. But he opened this young man, and he asked for his servant to see into another dimension. Lord, I pray that for myself. Lord, I pray. I would pray it for you too. That, Lord, you would open us up to where we can see into another dimension. To the things that are around us. To the things that are coming down the road to us. To be wise of the enemy's strategies that he's going to try to trip me up. How he's going to try to trip your church up, how he's going to try to trip your church family up. You know, we can go on down the line. But it's being able to be aware of that happening and to be able to be prepared. The answer came immediately. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw and beheld the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Verse 17, seeing into the invisible is a key to victorious praying. See, when I read that again, I was thinking about that. I thought seeing into the invisible is a key to the victorious praying. I figured the victorious praying is when I saw the answer. But sometimes I don't see the answer the way I thought I would like to see it. And so then I begin to wonder, like, hello, God, are you there? Did you hear my prayer? Am I doing something bad and that's why you're not answering my prayer? See, now the enemy is coming in. Now the enemy is coming in. So, Tim, evidently he's not answering your prayer because there's something wrong in your life. There's sin. What is it? And pretty soon Tim gets all hooked up into that, thinking, oh, I got to figure that out. Oh, so I take my eyes off of God and I try to go through what the Satan has thrown out there to say, go figure out what's wrong. I ain't going to figure it out. And 99.9, maybe some of it could be sin, but 99.999, it's almost like ivory soap. Wasn't it ivory that was 99.9999 pure? A lot of times, it's just the enemy wanting to get your eyes off of that prayer and seeing the invisible realm and to see the hand of God moving in that invisible area to look at the natural things around you to say it must not be working. And then pretty soon, you got your eyes focused in the wrong area. I'm guilty of that. I'm sorry. I'm the only one here today, but I'm guilty of that. None of you guys are. But I get so easily focused on what I see than what I don't see. And isn't it all that of God is by that of faith? Is the substance of things? Yes, not seeing though. But, you know, we don't see it and we hope for it. So evident faith is a substance of things hoped for but not seen. And yeah, so faith is into that direction. My faith. My salvation, the enemy can't take my salvation away from me. I can only give it up if I want, but I ain't going to give it up. You know, at least I'm a blood-bought child of God by receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord. My sins have been forgiven. They've been washed white as snow. I'm on, oh, hallelujah. But I'm learning and growing as a child of God. And I, as most of us here, I think, are you guys still in the natural world? Or am I just seeing? Maybe there's nobody here. Maybe God has just opened my eyes. We've had people talk about things like that, by the natural or seen in the invisible. I've had people share at times after a service where they said, Pastor, during song service, it was amazing. I looked up and I saw an angel sitting up here in this corner. Really? Wow, I didn't, but wow. Just because we all don't doesn't mean it didn't happen. Right? Or I saw an enemy of a host of angels around this place. Wow! Hallelujah! Glory to God! I hope that even today, right now, that is happening. That on this property, in this building, around this place, that God sees us hungering enough after Him and believing enough of Him and understanding that we have got to get in that invisible realm to be aware of what's happening, that He's going to bless us with His presence. And He's not going to be in His presence where, like, He's going to walk down the ramp, come down here, and sit right here. Generally not. Now, if somebody comes in and looks like a beggar and sits here, we're going to serve whatever he wants. No. No, but it's like He's not going to come in and sit in the front row and have this aura around Him, and we go, okay, we know God is in the house. God is in the house. God is in the house. I believe it in today, touching your spirit right now. And He's telling you to open your spiritual eyes to what I have for you in the invisible and let it begin to materialize in that natural area. And I don't know what that all means. I'm trying to figure this out myself, guys. I don't have the answer, but I've got God. I don't have the answer, but I got faith. I don't have the answer, but I do have the answer, God. By his word, by his scriptures, by the times he has spent with me in times of prayer, we could all be little Elishas where we hear and we see, or not, well, we could hear, see things that are coming about. You know? And then sometimes we look at it, and if you're not keyed into that, a lot of times you might go, boy, that was a crazy thing I saw. No, it was not a crazy thing you saw. It was God opening your eyes into the invisible realm to see what's there waiting. Because even though Elisha was opened to vision into the spiritual realm, right? In the invisible, I should say. Did it not come about? Did not those soldiers come to that part to where Elisha told his king, like, be careful when you go to this pass because they're going to be there waiting for you? So he saw it in the invisible realm and heard it and saw that. He spoke it, and it happened in the natural. So there are things, and there will be things that you see and hear in the invisible realm of things of God that will come about in the natural. And you've got to be prepared. But you've got to be understanding that God is there for you. You've got to understand, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those against us. So that wraps this up here a little bit. Seeing into the invisible is a key to victorious praying, discerning spiritual issues from God's perspective rather than man's. So, I'm looking at a situation in my life. Do I want to look at it, which I 99, 80 times, 90%, maybe 100% times do? Do I look at it from my perspective and say, well, that's me? Or do I look at it from God's perspective? And what does God see me as? He sees me as the head and not the tail. Amen? He sees me as an overcomer, not to be overcome. God sees all of those in us. And so we've got to get to the point of don't see yourself as who you are today and what you see and feel and know and experience, but say, oh, but who does God see that I am? I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. So it says, seeing into the visible is a key to victorious praying, discerning spiritual issues from God's perspective rather than man's, seeing the adversary's attack plan and perceiving God's angelic strike force. Woo! Hallelujah! You are not going to have a battle that the Lord is not going to be there with you. But you got to call upon him. You've got to sense that and see that and experience that in that invisible spiritual realm. But a lot of times in our churches and even in our lives today, when we start talking about the spiritual things, people go, ooh, I don't know. I don't want to be around those people. You hear they talk about praying to God? Really? Because they're going to think like this. Oh, my God, he's one of those wackos. Spiritual praying, praying to God. But we've got to get a grasp of this invisible realm that we, you, are a part of, and how God does his battles for us. He does our battles for us in the invisible realm, but he works through individuals and people. I've said that many times over whatever the case might be. And that's where we've got to also get an understanding that you might be the answer to somebody's prayer. You're the visible from the invisible to be seen in the visible. Now that's getting back into Miles Monroe talking about the kingdom stuff. Ah, the kingdom of God, that of the invisible. And we are there in the kingdom of God. So we are serving the invisible and the visible so the invisible can see, or so the visible can see the invisible in the visible. I love that when he rattled that off. I wrote that down. One of these days when I think you guys are ready for it, we're going to show those videos because it will bless you. It'll get you into a thought process of the kingdom mentality of serving God as the king, not just as somebody that you can go to and bargain with and say, I don't like your way, I'm going to do it my way. No, the king says it, you do it. And that's what the Bible is all set up as, is the king, the kingship, the kingdom of God. But we've got to understand that God's perspective rather than man's seeing the adversary, key to victorious praying, discerning spiritual issues from God's perspective. And that's the thing I like, because it's like, I already know what I feel. I already know what I see. Ah, but what do you see? Remember Mark Bredenkamp. It's not what I see, but what he see. And what he see, I see. We got to get connected to that of God. Exodus 14:13, and Moses says to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation." And this is at the area of chapter 14 in that of Exodus is the Red Sea crossing. Ooh, this is a great story. But in 14:13, and Moses says to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again." Could it be as well that the problem that you have today, you will not see it anymore? But anyway, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace, it says. Oh, Father, that's in 14. So he starts off at the end of 13, "For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again, no more, forever." Verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Hold your peace is actually what this is. Be quiet. Just be quiet. You know what, Vicki? It seems like the last 3 or 4 weeks, I always get into where I can get to Barney 5. Be quiet. Just nip it. Nip it. That's our new verbiage for this year, 2022. Just nip it. We get ourselves in such a tizzy. We don't hear God. We get ourselves going in such a thing around trying to figure it all out. We don't see the answer that's right there before us. I've talked to people and praying, and I've prayed for a situation, and it's not come yet, and I prayed, and it's not come. I thank God that I know it's coming. I know, Lord, you've heard my prayer. Lord, I know when I spoke it, you've actually sent it, and we can go into scriptures about those things, about 20 and 1 days, and the adversaries in between. That, here again, it's in the invisible. The warring angels and the fighting. Do you understand this, that the devil does not want you to have a prayer answered? Do you find that surprising? His MO, mode of operation is, I want to just create as much confusion in every Christian's life that I can. I want to create doubt, apprehension. I want to create anxiety and worry. That's the devil's thing that he's really wanting to do. But I've told people that when that prayer hasn't been answered, and it comes up in my spirit, okay, it's not just, I don't ritually say, okay, it's 1 o'clock, I got to pray for this or whatever. But it's all of a sudden I'll be thinking about something and that'll come up and I go, oh, I want to pray again. Lord, I know you heard my prayer. Thank you for the answer. I've just not seen it yet, but I believe it's coming. Just reveal it to me. I believe there's a blessing coming from God at all times to every one of us. Now, you may not believe that, but I believe it wholeheartedly in my fiber that blessings are being poured out upon me. And they're coming to me. And I just got to be aware that a blessing is coming or it's just passed you by. Be alert. Be alert. Take your eyes off of the situation. Begin to look into the invisible realm. Begin to see that invisible realm begin to materialize into that of the natural thing because we live in a natural world. God knows that. God knows that you're in a natural state. Amen. But you're a spirit being. And how does he speak to us? Through the Spirit. Holy Spirit into our spirit. I love talking to God and the Spirit just drops things in. Don't you guys? And just, oh my goodness. And some things he drops in me and some things I probably don't want to hear, but I've got to change. Tim, you need to change that. Oh man, I liked the good part before that. Let's get back to that, God. But Tim, you need to change this. You need to do this. You need to undo that. Okay. But this is the Red Sea crossing, and this is what this is all about. And so you can read through the story. I got other things I want to cover, so I'm not going to get there where I thought it to be. But we know the story. that the cloud that they were following for by day, all of a sudden they got to that, and the Lord stopped that, and he put the cloud between. He moved the cloud, it says, from the front to where? Their back. So he put that cloud between them and their adversary. And on one side, it says that one side was darkness, the other side was light. Who do you think was in the light? And who do you think was in the dark? Egyptians were in the dark. The cloud was between them and who they were chasing. And it was dark. They couldn't go anywhere. They had to camp out and wait. But during that time, there's light on that other side, and the Israelites were seeing that, and they were preparing. And he went, and he lifted the hand and the staff, and the waters parted, and they walked out. And everything, oh, 26, then the Lord says to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. Who did the battle there for them? The Lord. They didn't do anything but just follow him and do what he told them to do. Your battle is won if you only do and follow what the Lord has told you to do. Don't do any more than that. Don't do any less than that. Do what he's told you to do. And the battle is on his side. Lord, the word of God tells us that. The battle is mine. You're weak. I'm strong. All of these things that we as a church body, we need to be built up on, and we need to be listening. You need to hear. I don't care if you've read this 1,000 times. You better get back into some of the scripture here of talking about seeing the mighty hand of God working in the natural things that the people that were his people, the Jewish people. But guess what? Because of Jesus Christ, we are engrafted into that blessing. Amen. Gentiles. Oh, well, he did that for the Israelites, the Jewish people. He's also done that for the Gentiles that have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There is no Jew or Gentile to him. They're all his children. Amen? Hallelujah. So anyway, it gets back to this part here. Well, I was going to read a little bit more. I can't get into that. I'll keep staying in there. I want to go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 32:7. And these are all battles that these people are doing in. So can you see there's a lot of battles taking place? Kind of mirrors some of our lives, don't it? We're all going through battles. We've got victories, and we got battles. We've got a victory, then we're going to go into another battle. But anyway, I want to look at just 2 Chronicles 32:7. And it says here, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. Now, this is speaking to that of Hezekiah. It talks about after the deeds of faithfulness, the king of Assyria came and entered Judah. He had camped, I'm at verse 32, or chapter 32 at the very beginning. He encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them over to himself. And when Hezekiah saw what the purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, he consulted with his leaders and commanders to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. Thus many people gathered together who stopped all the springs and the brook that ran through the land, saying, why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water? And he strengthened himself, built up the walls that was broken, raised it up from the towers, and built another wall outside. And just going on, getting re-fortifying the city. And then he set military captains, verse 6, over the people, gathered them together to him in an open square of the city gate, and he gave them this encouragement. And we just read that. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. After this, the king of Assyria sent his servants to Jerusalem, to Hezekiah, king of Judah, and to all of Judah who were in Jerusalem, saying, the king of Syria says this, in what do you trust that you remain under siege in Jerusalem? Does not Hezekiah persuade you to give yourselves over to die by famine and by thirst, saying that the Lord our God will deliver us from the hand of the king of Assyria? Has not the name Hezekiah taken away his high place and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, you shall worship before one altar and burn incense on it? Do you not, verse 13, do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of other lands? King of Assyria saying, look, do you know how many countries I've overconquered and taken over and all their gods that they had? And you're telling, and Hezekiah is telling you about your God? You really think your God is going to stand against me? I kind of looked this here where, what did I say? The king of Assyria is talking trash talk to the people. You know, it's like, rah! It says, so anyway, do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands in any way able to deliver their lands out of my hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people from my hand? He's basically saying, my God is bigger than your God. And those countries that had their gods didn't last. So I'm trying to give you a warning, you guys. Don't listen to Hezekiah. Now, therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, verse 15, or persuade you like this, and do not believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or the hands of my fathers. You're going through a struggle right now. Oh, I've beat other people. I've taken their lives early. I've done this. I've done that. Do you not? No. Wait, I don't know what god they were serving, but they may not have been serving the God with a capital G that I'm serving. Amen? How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? Furthermore, his servant spoke against the Lord God, against his servant Hezekiah. Now, you go on and you read through this, and it didn't fare too well for the king of Assyria. Let's just say it that way. Okay? But here again, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. Verse 7, before the king of Assyria. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the problem that sets before you. Or maybe before all those problems that you have. For you have more with you than those problems that are against you. Rise up in victory. Amen. And then wrapping up here real quick, we find it in Romans, kind of jumping into that real quick in the New Testament here. 8:31. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. 34, who is to be condemned? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? When we look at this area here, we find that Paul is defiantly and triumphantly raises five unanswerable questions designed to give believers a profound assurance of spiritual security. Who? Amen. So we look at that, and then I want to close with this, and that's just thinking about things that are going forth, battles. Remember, we talked about the battles where it's in the invisible realms, these things that we're dealing with. But we do have that of the natural of Jesus Christ came upon this earth and died for you and me and us. To be reborn again to that of Christ, or to God, to be reconciled back to him. And then a footnote jumped it back to Ephesians, and this is well known here again. These are all things that we've heard and we'll rehear and hear again, amen? But it's important to repeat them, you know? The armor of God. And I got a note, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And you'll read through how you're going to do that. Amen? About the armor of God. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Where is this telling us our battle is with? Principalities. Powers against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're finding through this whole verbiage of putting on the shield and the shodding of the feet and all of these things that we do in the prayers, that Paul admonishes us to put on the whole armor of God in order to stand against the forces of hell. It is clear that our warfare is not against the physical forces, but against invisible powers who have clearly defined levels of authority in a real, though invisible, sphere of activity. Clearly defined levels of authority in a real, though invisible, sphere of activity. Paul, however, not only warns us of a clearly defined structure in the invisible realm, he instructs us to take up the whole armor of God in order to maintain a battle stance. I know I wake up in the morning and everything is good, but you know what? In the mornings when we wake up and the day that we walk out and go through here and there, we have got to be prepared for a battle. For a battle may come at any time, right? But we need to maintain a battle stance against this unseen satanic structure. Satanic structure. All of this armor is not just a passive protection in facing the enemy. It is to be used offensively against these satanic forces. Note that Paul's final directive, we are to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What? Continues on, thus prayer is not so much a weapon or even a part of the armor as it is the means by which we engage in the battle itself and the purpose for which we are armed. To put on the armor of God is to prepare for battle. Prayer is the battle itself, with God's word being our chief weapon employed against Satan and during our struggles. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pray in the Spirit. We got to be a people of prayer and being strong in that and realize that these things are being answered and that we turn it over to God for thy will be done in these situations. And I pray, Lord, if it's not done the way I think it should be, would you reveal that to me? I understand your ways, it says, are not my ways. Your thoughts definitely are not my thoughts. But you are my God that I can come and pray to. And I know that you're a fair and just God. So, where does it go from there? Stay in prayer. Stay believing. Ask him to reveal it. Realize it's in that invisible realm that you're really battling. And he will do the battle for you, amen? And he will give you the strength to stand when you need to stand. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is true and it touches our lives in a very powerful way. Lord, I pray a blessing upon each one here. May they go out stronger than when they came in. Prepare their days ahead. Prepare this week before them, Lord. And all this has been spoken and shared and prayed through that of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.